Today, our fellow citizens, our way of life, our very freedom came under attack in a series of deliberate and deadly terrorist acts. None of us will ever forget this day. Yet we go forward to defend freedom and all that is good and just in our world. Thank you.
Welcome back to Leading with Sense. I'm Tim, your host. Today, we're going to be covering Money Marching Order Number 6. Money Marching Order Number 6 is save 10% of your income into non-retirement investments. So this is save 10% of your income into non-retirement investments. So in the previous step, we save 10 or 15% depending on your age into retirement. Again, retirement savings you cannot touch until you're 59 and a half unless you withdraw it early or something like that, and which again, I'm not going to recommend. So now we need to set up some money for the short and midterm, right? So we've got long-term covered with Pension Plus, and now we're going to save 10% for the short and midterm. And I've got a quote to start this off from the book called Richest Man of Babylon. For every 10 coins thou places within thy purse, take for use but 9. The purse will start to fan at once, and its increasing weight will feel good in thy hand and bring satisfaction to thy soul. So in the book, Richest Man in Babylon, it's a quick read. I recommend it to all my listeners. He is saying for every 10 coins you make, place 1 into savings or investing. So use only 9 and save the 1 for every 10 coins. And this is where the 10% in this money marching order came from, is the Richest Man of Babylon. Because as the book suggests, you know, anyone rich or poor can put money aside, let it accumulate. You just have to commit to setting it up, right? So once we set these up, 10% is 10% and you're living without it. So you're going to learn to live without that 15% or 10% we're putting into retirement in Pension Plus. And then we're saving and investing 10% into non-retirement now, and we're kind of learning to live without it. And setting up this non-retirement savings vehicle is going to be very important when we go to buy a house, upgrade a car, or something like that. That's where this came from. I didn't just make up 10% out of thin air. You know, this is coming from a proven strategy to, as they say, fatten thy purse, to protect from a lean purse, as the book says. This obviously can be done very easily now with different technology. You can set up a 10% withdraw, a 10% automated investment, right? So your paycheck comes in on the first, and maybe a day or two after that, you have an automatic withdraw at 10% of your income. So if you make $5,000, that looks a lot like $500. If you make $10,000, that looks a lot like $1,000, right? So we're taking that money and we're putting it into different investments or savings, depending on your goals. Anything below 2 years. So if you're looking to purchase something a year or two out, I recommend putting that in savings. Because if the market goes down or something happens with your investment, you're not going to have that money available. So this falls into the realm of, you know, home improvement projects this year, or this falls into, hey, we're upgrading a car this year. It may be on into next year, but anywhere from like a year and a half, 2 years and above, I'm going to recommend we put this in some kind of investment vehicle. And the easy ones to do, you can jump on Vanguard or the different trading services. I'm not talking about Robinhood, but you can do that too if you want. But so we're going to hop on there, and there's going to be some different options. So the most basic you have are index funds, right? So index funds, these are accumulation of different stocks into one index. A really popular one to invest in is the S&P Standard & Poor 500 Index Fund. And there are many, many S&P 500 index funds available in the market today. And this is probably the most performing index fund, you know, over the years of the stock market, where it's averaged 10% or more since, you know, last 50 years. So you're going to make somewhere between 10% on your money over a 3 to 10 year period, right? So obviously it has its ups and it has its downs throughout the years, which is why we're not going to recommend putting anything that you need this year into that kind of fund. But 2 years or above, you can go ahead and put it in a index fund. You know, expense ratios are low and all that. And then from index funds, you could do mutual funds. So we can look at different mutual funds available on Vanguard or wherever you do your trading, TD Ameritrade, wherever. I personally have an investment professional that I do most of my investing in. I've got a couple funds outside that for short-term purchases like a car fund and things like that. But most of my money is with my investment professional. But he invests it into different mutual funds that have a good 10-year performance record of 10% or better, right? So that's kind of where we are looking at. We're looking at a 10-year run of a fund to see how it did over, you know, 2008, now coronavirus, and different things like that to see how it performed, but more importantly, how it recovered. So recovery is big into stocks. It's like, okay, it went down, but how did it do coming out of it? You know, if we look at the S&P 500 fund, it went low, you know, in March of 2020, but now it's all-time high. And I don't recommend trying to time the market either. So I don't recommend trying to, you know, puts and calls and all that. What I recommend and what comes from the Richest Man of Babylon is just being consistent over time. So I'm not trying to time the market. I am just investing consistently 10% of my income month after month after month after month. And I'm going to catch the highs of the market and I'm going to catch the lows of the market. And I'm going to catch everywhere in between because I'm doing it consistently month to month to month to month. So this is also why I don't recommend doing a lump sum, like a yearly lump sum where you do $5,000 into something every March or whatever, when you get your taxes back, because you're missing the ups and you're missing the downs of the market when you do that. So if I go ahead and invest every March, a lump sum that I get back from taxes or whatever, and the market's at an all-time high and it goes back down slightly, by the summer or fall, then I'm going to lose money. I'm going to get frustrated. I'm probably going to pull that money out, which is a lot of time. What happens is people get frustrated or they get scared. So they pull money out of the fund and don't let it perform as it should. Where if you do month to month to month, you know, you're going to have a lot more success overall with catching the highs of the market and the lows of the market. So again, I'm going to recommend month to month consistency is key to investing. You know, whether you do it in a mutual fund or you do it in an index fund, I don't really care. I don't necessarily recommend single stocks, right? So the problem with a single stock versus an index fund is an index fund is, you know, diversified. It's got different companies in that market. And you can't really bankrupt an index unless the whole stock market falls. So where if you go with a company, like if you go for with some random airline out of, I don't know, South America or Brazil, and you put a bunch of money in there and, oh, whoops, the airline tanks, then you just lost all your money. And same thing, you know, if you put it into some company pre-COVID and just put 100% into Royal Caribbean or something like that, and then come COVID, it went down because they're not doing a business. You know, obviously there's some volatility to that, where if you have an index, you know, you're going to get some highs and lows, and they may not be as high and low as some of the individual stocks. So you're not going to see probably, you know, some Bitcoin returns or something like that, but you're also not going to see the huge losses that a lot of these single stocks take. And everyone really likes to post all their day trading results online, and they show you their stock price going up with these random companies, and they're saying, oh yeah, invest in this, invest in that. But what you're not seeing is their losses. They're not advertising their losses, and they're not advertising where else they're falling short in their financial picture. So they're not showing you that they don't have anything in retirement. They're not showing you that they're deeply in debt, right? And I always laugh at when I see all these people posting what they got on returns on like $1,000, $2,000. And especially when it shows their balance at the top and they've got like $9,000 into this investment account. You know, I kind of know that that's all they have. They're not really investing elsewhere. So, you know, just because they have a Robinhood account or whatever bullshit they think they've got going on, they're not an investor. They're just playing roulette at the roulette table. So they're not being consistent over time. And those that get rich quick from this kind of behavior are not rich long. And I know there's some out there that are doing this that do have their shit together. You know, this is a very small portion of their nest egg. And, you know, if you want to put a small percentage in single stocks, go for it. But just know that, just be comfortable that you might lose that money. You know, if you hop on the Bitcoin train today, you might lose that by tomorrow. You don't know. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what the government's going to do that's going to adversely affect the market like that. Where if you're in an index or mutual fund, you're better diversified and better protected from huge losses while consistently over time performing 10% or better. So again, that's my rant on single stocks. Just if you're going to do them, make sure it's a very, very, very small portion of your investment or income, like seriously less than 5% of your total investments. So if you don't have anything in investments and you don't have an emergency fund and you have a bunch of debt, then I don't really recommend investing in stocks. In fact, if you're in debt, I don't really recommend investing, period, besides your 5% into your blended retirement system if you're in the military. If you're not in the military, I don't recommend doing any investing until you're out of debt. Sorry, that's just my rant. So to review, money marching order, number 6, 10% save and invest into either a savings account for 2 years or less expenses, or 2 years or more, we're going to go ahead and invest that into index funds and mutual funds. And what that is going to set us up to do in the future is we're going to be able to have money available to upgrade our cars. We're going to have money available to put a down payment on a house without going further into debt. So we're not going to go into debt anymore for a vehicle. The money for the vehicle is going to come from this 10% minimum invested. Again, we're not borrowing money anymore. We already did that in the debt assault in money marching order number 3. Now we're saving so we don't have to be in debt going forward. Now, obviously, you know, a home purchase or something like that, you're going to have a mortgage on it. But I'm talking about consumer debt. We're not doing any more consumer debt again because we're saving money. We're investing it over time. And anything you put towards debt, anything you're putting towards debt, you're working for that company. So if you think about it, if you have a Toyota loan, you have an American Express card, you are slaves. You are a slave to those companies, meaning if you don't pay them, there's going to be adverse consequences. Where if you paid cash for something, you're going to be done with that. And that, you know, you wholly own that vehicle. And if you think about investing the way the Richest Man in Babylon, the book, talks about, think about investing as you're taking a tenth of your income and you're investing it. And that tenth of your income is having children. And those children are working for that dollar. And then those children have children, and those children's children are working for the original principal, and so on and so forth. So these, anything you gain in interest as you go along is a slave to you. It's constantly working, whether you're awake or asleep. It's compounding interest over time, and that money is working for you. Where the other way, if you have debt, you are working for the money, and you're giving it away. You're giving it away, and your opportunity cost is that amount of money that you can't invest to produce offspring to invest for you. Does that make sense? I hope it does. And again, this is Money Marching Order number 6. Save and invest 10%. And until next time, I'm Tim McAndrew, your host, and this is Leading with Sense.
Shake it.